Quicksilver Publishing presents The Persephone Project, Part 1, by Tom Withers, read for you by the author. Joel's back popped audibly as he sat up in his chair. The accompanying twinge of pain was unpleasant, but it gave him the extra jolt he needed to pay attention to the droning voice of Michelle Upton. The lead researcher for the Persephone Project had her salt and pepper hair pulled back, as always, into a tight ponytail, and her thin, pale lips hardly moved as she spoke. Her flat tone and stiff demeanor, along with her generic white lab coat and round spectacles, filled Joel with pity for the undergraduates in her organic chemistry classes. Joel looked around the table at the aging faces of the people he had worked with for the better part of 4 decades. He knew each of them better than his own family. He even liked them. Well, most of them. And perhaps like was too strong a word for it. As they sat together pretending to listen to Michelle, every one of them was trying to hide their wrinkly grins and failing miserably. The night before, the computers had finally finished their simulations. The experiment was a success. The software and hardware were all in place, ready to launch. Today was the day, and everybody knew it. It was no wonder, after so many years, his colleagues didn't have the will to listen to yet another tedious progress report. Joel sighed, quietly enough not to draw Dr. Upton's attention. Twiddling his thumbs and bouncing his leg, his gaze wandered around the room until he met the cloudy brown eyes of Rob Garrett. Rob was the team's chief biotechnician and Joel's best friend. The big man cracked a toothy grin, deep furrows appearing in his chocolate skin as his bushy gray eyebrows lifted up to where his hairline had once been. Rob had once grown a mean afro back in grad school, but all that remained of that was a wispy gray horseshoe. Back in the day when Joel had first met Rob, he had every reason to despise the man with his perfect hair, athletic build, and excellent singing voice. The ladies were all over him. Joel himself had been barely smart enough to keep up. He had been born small with two left everything and utterly tone deaf. But despite their differences, the two of them had hit it off right away and never looked back. Now that Rob was bald, paunchy, and dying, things didn't seem quite so lopsided. Joel felt guilty at the sick comfort he took in that. Old age is the great equalizer, after all. "It would seem," Dr. Upton said, her tone neither shifting in volume nor inflection, "that I have lost your attention." The fluorescent lights in the ceiling flickered slightly as though they too had suddenly been startled awake. Nervous glances were shared around the small conference room. Sanjay Pavel tapped at the table while aggressively avoiding eye contact with anyone. Mike Young, on the other hand, didn't even try to disguise his indifference. He swung back in his chair, popped his gum, and grinned stupidly as he slapped at his thighs, playing what was almost certainly the drum beat from a particularly long and irritating Metallica song. Joel seethed. At that moment, for the first time, he realized that he hated Mike and always had. Now that they had reached the end of their professional association, Joel found himself relieved that he wouldn't have to make nice or even tolerate the nasty man anymore. He scowled across the table at the pudgy pink fool with his patchy beard, greasy hair, and that stupid t-shirt with the one-armed monkey holding a stick of dynamite, captioned, "I'm a slow learner." Mike was the class clown, the school bully, and the greasy rocker all rolled into one. He was also a high-functioning alcoholic whose personal hygiene habits left much to be desired. His wizardry, as one of the old gods of computer programming, was the only thing that had kept everyone putting up with the sight and smell of him. Joel ground his teeth at the thought of history books writing Mike Young's name next to his own. "Gentlemen," Upton continued, "in case you have somehow forgotten, we are talking about the most technically difficult, groundbreaking, world-changing achievement in the history of humankind." She tapped a manicured red fingernail against the monitor on the wall. "If this works, we will make the moon landing look like children playing in a sandbox." She peered down her nose at them. There was no brag hidden behind her inexorable monotone either. It was simply the truth. Her frosty blue eyes scanned the room until they fell on Joel. "Well, Dr. Stenebacher, don't you think we ought to pay a little attention to the final brief on humanity's greatest achievement?" Her tone was as unnecessarily formal as it always was, particularly for someone who had seen him naked. Joel shifted nervously in his seat, despite himself. She had always had a way of getting under his skin and making him squirm. When he was 20 years younger, he'd even enjoyed the feeling of being a rabbit in the gaze of a particularly lovely and severe hawk. The angry teacher vibe had really worked for him back then. Now that he was old and tired, nothing really worked for him anymore. He cleared his throat. "Come on, Michelle," he said. "The simulations were successful. We all know what that means. We've gone over everything 1,000 times. It's time to go." Furious nodding accompanied his words from all around the table. Mike even went so far as to thump the table enthusiastically and yell, "Seriously, bro, enough jabbering. I'm starting to look as old as you bunch of walking corpses." The joke was in poor taste, as usual, but this time Sanjay smiled and so did Rob. Joel did not. Still, Mike had a point. They were getting old. Persephone had taken a lifetime of hard work, late nights, and dead ends. Every one of them had lived in fear for years that they wouldn't see it finished, especially after Bill Brown died. Their colleague had died badly, begging, weeping, and cursing his miserable old body for failing him when they were so close. His last breaths before the cancer took him were spent berating Dr. Upton for her caution in not letting him try Persephone early. Michelle had been right not to let him, of course. It would have been a disaster. But after burying Bill, none of them wanted to wait a minute longer than they had to. They would not miss their shot at immortality. Michelle's blank stare chilled Joel's old bones. He racked his brain for something else to say, but was saved as the door to the conference room suddenly swung open.
"Sorry we're late, everyone."
Jenny Lee and Ted Baker bustled into the room and took their seats at the table across from each other. Jenny's jet black hair was a poorly repaired mess, and one of the buttons on her blouse was undone. Her hot pink lipstick was smeared a little and, interestingly enough, perfectly matched the smudge on Ted's neck.
"We were just checking the math one more time," she explained, "to be safe."
Ted, for his part, looked like he'd just run 10 miles. His tie was slightly crooked and his eyes were a little vacant, but the small smile he couldn't seem to wipe off of his face and the furtive glances across at Jenny gave the game away.
"I see," Upton said. "How diligent of you."
"Yo, Ted," Mike shouted, his chair creaking as he leaned in conspiratorially. "Those little blue pills are incredible, right?"
Ted's face didn't betray anything, but Jenny blushed furiously. Honestly, Joel didn't blame Ted and Jenny for sneaking off to enjoy one last truly human experience. They'd been shyly in love for years now, and it was nice to see them make this connection before the end.
"Can I point out," Rob broke in, "that we probably don't have much time before word gets out that we're ready to launch?"
His words washed over the room like a cold wind. There was a very limited window of time to deploy Persephone before the project's financiers either started clamoring for a seat themselves or started auctioning them off to the highest bidder. The team had decided years ago that they, the creators, should be the ones who got to go. There would be no undoing it and no going back. Once the seven of them entered, they would take up all of the available space on the web. No seat would ever open up again. If they weren't quick, others would be banging down their door looking for a ticket to immortality. Or worse, some committee of high-minded fools would convene to decide who the best candidates would be. Joel cringed at the thought of some lush-haired wonder boy taking the seat he had spent a lifetime earning.
"Over my dead body," he thought, clenching his fist.
"Very well, then,"
Dr. Upton said, raising her head sharply and pressing her spectacles further up her nose.
"Since none of you are taking this brief seriously, and since you're all in such a hurry, let's proceed to the uplink room, rush things, bungle the greatest moment in history, and get ourselves killed."
Her words were harsh, but Joel noticed that she was the first one to move towards the door. Despite her frosty demeanor, Joel knew she was just as eager as the rest of them to get a move on. After a brief pause for collective reflection, all six of them jumped up from their chairs and followed her out the door. They shambled together arthritically down the long hallway. Server banks and ice-cold rooms blinked through the glass on either side of them as they went. Joel ran his fingers along the glass, cold bit deep into his fingertips, and he sighed sadly. After today, he would never feel anything, not in the same way at least. For the millionth time, he questioned whether he was doing the right thing. Of course, his colleagues professed all sorts of high-minded, altruistic reasons for the project, but Joel knew deep down that the real reason they had built Persephone was simple. Like the lowest animal on the food chain, they were afraid to die. The geriatric procession moved along, quiet as the grave, footsteps echoing down the shallow incline of the hallway as it wound further down into the earth. These were the last moments of their lives, their final breaths, their final steps. Joel's heart began to race, his mouth went dry. He was marching like a lamb to the slaughter, and he was thrilled for the privilege. Of course, he wasn't really going to die. After he completed the uplink and left his body behind, he would be reborn anew with a digital body. His consciousness would expand and he would have access to nearly limitless power and knowledge. He'd be free forever from the pains of a mortal body, from the strangling, suffocating stagnation of a mind in decline. Once the transformation was complete, he and his colleagues would be a force for good unlike anything the world had ever seen. They would uncover hidden connections, collate vast quantities of data into usable forms, flush out the filth of the internet, save lives, and drive humanity into the light and knowledge of a glorious new era. They would combine the power of machine with the reason of man in a way that would forever outshine any AI. Surely such an achievement was worth the lives of a few doddering old scientists. Joel was almost entirely convinced. Still walking, he pulled his wallet out of his pocket and grimaced at the liver spot on the back of his hand. Getting old sucked. He flicked open the well-worn leather and stared down at the picture of his wife and son. They looked so young. It had been almost 30 years since they had been killed by a stupid kid texting behind the wheel. Life without them had been hard. Some nights, only Persephone had kept him going. He pulled the picture from the wallet, pressed it against his lips, and clenched his trembling hand around it. The winding hallway came to an end and they approached the stainless steel doors to the uplink room. Joel fumbled with his pocket, trying to get his wallet back inside, but his hands were shaking too violently now. To hell with this useless old body, he thought, and good riddance. After a beat, he grinned, tossed the wallet on the ground, and kept walking. It's not like he would need it anymore. He was at peace with his fate, and so were his colleagues. They had all settled their affairs and said their goodbyes, knowing that Persephone was nearing completion. At the end of the day, their team was about as expendable as you could get for a mission like this.
Michelle's breast cancer had returned with a vengeance a few months ago, and Rob was walking around with an aortic aneurysm that could go bang at any moment. Joel himself was starting to worry that his kidneys were on their last legs, and his peach-sized prostate made each of his 8 nightly trips to the bathroom more miserable than the last. Sanjay, Mike, Ted, and Jenny were in decent shape, but they weren't exactly spring chickens either. At best, he figured they all had a handful of years left to live. They had all done the math. The rickety old years they had left were a small price to pay for a chance at immortality and godhood. It was worth a shot. Michelle held one of the steel doors open as the rest of them filed through. The uplink room was an airtight circular chamber with white walls, bright lights, exposed steel pipes, and 7 mechanical chairs arranged in a semicircle. There were dozens of cables leading from the chairs to a console near the chair on the leftmost end. The team had painstakingly crafted the devices that would take them into the afterlife. Each one was specially mapped to the user's brain. Every synapse would be accounted for. Every memory, every element of their personality, nothing would be missed. They were sure of it. The simulations had been successful. Yes, their bodies would die, but their minds would live on. A jolt of fear crackled up Joel's spine as he looked at his own chair, the one closest to the server console. He swallowed hard. He was face to face with the device that was designed to shear his consciousness away and leave his body dead. How had he never noticed before how much the machine resembled an electric chair? His body screamed out in primal terror, adrenaline coursing through his veins as his breaths began to grow sharp and shallow. Joel clearly wasn't the only one who was starting to feel uneasy. His colleagues were all staring in wide-eyed horror at their own chairs. He was sure the hum of computer fans and the hiss of icy gas were the only things keeping him from hearing the deep drums of 7 pounding hearts. Mike wrecked the moment, of course. He reached out a grubby hand and squeezed Michelle's butt before marching over to his own chair. "Come on, gang, nobody lives forever." He winked and popped his gum, then spat it into his hand and flicked it across the room. "I hope you guys are more fun in the digital world than you were in this one," he shouted cheerfully as he plopped down into his chair. He pulled the headset on all the way down past his eyes and ears until all that could be seen of him was his stupid grin. He tossed up a 2-bird salute and then shimmied into his chair, trying to get comfortable. The rest of them glanced around at each other, letting a few moments pass as the gravity of the situation returned to them. Ted cleared his throat and all eyes went to him. He was holding Jenny's hand. The little woman was crying heavily, her mascara running in rivulets down her well-preserved face. "We aren't going," Ted said. His rough Texas drawl and deep baritone added power to the simple phrase. He looked sternly at each of them in turn, daring them to argue with him. Then he turned to Jenny. The tender look they shared at that moment left no need for explanation.
"If you don't come now, you won't be able to join us later," Michelle said, clearly unfazed by Ted and Jenny's obvious affection. "The uplink has to be simultaneous."
Of course, they all knew that. Jenny never took her eyes off Ted as she spoke, her voice thick with emotion.
"I know."
Tears dripped from her chin, and she sniffled.
"I want to stay."
She smiled up at Ted, who smiled back. The two of them were the youngest of the group, and Joel wouldn't be surprised if they still had a lot of happy years left ahead of them. He couldn't help but smile at the thought. Maybe if he were in their shoes, he'd do the same thing. After all, they were giving up immortality for each other. A love like that would last. Rob walked over and placed a meaty hand on each of their shoulders. "God bless you crazy kids." He laughed loud and hard, then pulled them both into a bear hug.
"You too, brother," said Ted. "You watch out for us up there, all right?"
Rob grinned and patted Ted on the back.
"Honestly, I was worried I'd have to put up with you two's sexual tension for eternity. I'm glad you came to your senses."
More laughter. Joel walked over to them and shook their hands.
"It's been a pleasure," he said, unsure of what else to say. "Best of luck."
They wished him luck in return, said their quiet goodbyes to Michelle and Sanjay, and then walked out of the uplink room hand in hand. Joel genuinely wished them all the best. He was glad he got to see a little beauty in the end, and was surprised to find that he was even a little choked up himself. After the doors closed behind Ted and Jenny, Sanjay heaved a deep sigh and stuck out his hand to Michelle, then to Rob, and finally to Joel. The man's small hand was clammy and cold with the soft leathery feel of skin far past its expiration date. Sanjay nodded slightly, then turned, wordlessly, and walked over to his chair. He sat down and put his headgear on in one smooth motion, clicking the chin strap into place and laying back with his hands clasped in his lap.
"Well, it's either try and die now or don't try and die tomorrow, right, buddy?"
Rob said.
"I always knew we'd find a way to save the world together."
Joel had always loved his friend's stoic approach to life. Rob smiled as 2 fat tears rolled down his craggy cheeks and he pulled Joel into a crushing yet tender embrace.
"It has been a pleasure working with you all these years, my friend,"
Joel said, his voice cracking.
"Certainly has, and here's to endless years of working together in the future."
Rob nodded to Michelle, then made his way over to his own chair, pulled on his headgear, and threw a thumbs up in Joel's general direction. That left Joel standing with the stolid Dr. Upton. Standing there, it was difficult for him to remember that Michelle had once been a stunning beauty. The two of them had shared a brief and passionate romance a handful of years after his Angela had died, but Michelle was far too cold a substitute for his soft, sweet wife. He had broken things off with her quickly and as painlessly as he could. She hadn't seemed to mind much. They were business as usual the next day and hadn't said a word about it since.
I'll see you on the other side.
Michelle held out her hand, no hint of emotion in her voice or eyes.
I'll see you there, was all that Joel could think to say as he shook her hand.
Michelle walked over to her chair and began to get situated as Joel started the sequence they had practiced a million times. Each teammate had contributed something special to the project, but today, everyone was counting on him. He sealed the chamber and turned the valves on the liquid nitrogen tanks. The pipes hissed above them and frost began collecting along the surface of the metal. Joel shuffled over to the command console. His breath turned to fog as the cold started to fill the room. He fired up the control modules for each one of his colleagues in order. His was the chair closest to the console so that he could get situated after starting the sequence. Next in line was Michelle, then Sanjay, then Rob, then the two empty chairs where Ted and Jenny would have been, and Mike on the end. Joel watched as, one by one, the lights on their helmets began to flash, first red, then blue as they connected to the servers. Nobody flinched at the sight of the lights. All normal. He pulled the keycard out of his pocket, guided his shaking hand to the center of the console, and tapped it against the screen. Again, the console flashed red for a moment before going blue. Good. Everything was going according to plan. He initiated the countdown and heard the sound of rushing gas start to taper off. The pipes were full. He wondered idly whether having Ted and Jenny drop out of the sequence would change anything, but he doubted it. Besides, they had to get this done quickly or not at all. Now or never. Joel took one last look at the picture in his hand. Angela and his son Anthony smiled back at him. He remembered the day he had taken the picture just a few months before the accident. A teardrop, icy cold against his cheek, made its way down through the cracks and valleys of his worn old face as he realized his family would be the last thing he would ever see. He smiled. That felt right. He took his seat, pulled the headgear on, and waited as Persephone's automated processes took over. Joel had never been a man of faith. If he had been, maybe he would have been willing to take his chances with death for a shot at being with his family again. But in his heart of hearts, he was certain they were dead and gone forever. There was nothing after death. He'd do his best to honor them. He'd work hard to make the world a better place. He'd use this gift for the betterment of all mankind. He promised his family, kissed the photo one last time, and clutched it tight against his chest as the automated voice of Persephone counted down to the end of one life and the beginning of another.
In the new book from author Tom Withers, enter a world where science blurs the line between human and machine. Human Cure, available on Amazon. In Human Cure, meet Ted and Amy. They're brilliant scientists and divorce partners. They're racing against time to find a cure for cancer. As they navigate disastrous experiments and a belligerent partnership, their work and their hearts are tested in ways they've never imagined. They're thrown into a world where incredibly lifelike bots work alongside humans. They must overcome their personal and professional challenges to achieve their breakthrough. And when the stakes become personal for Amy, their quest takes on a whole new urgency. Human Cure is a sci-fi romance. It's also a story that explores the essence of humanity in an increasingly artificial world. Author Tom Withers dedicated Human Cure to his mother and for all those battling cancer. Proceeds from the book will be donated to cancer research. Human Cure from author Tom Withers. Available on Amazon and Kindle, paperback, hardcover, and Kindle Unlimited. Order your copy right now.